Shri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopada Sham Kundarada Kodi Giri Gopada Kijai Shri Vrindavan Dham Kijai Namadatna Kijai Gangra Manatasi Bhakti Devi Kijai Kanata Kodi Vaishnava Kijai Samavata Bhakti Vrindavan Kijai Pramanandi All glory to Samadha Bodhita All glory to Samadha Bodhita All glory to Samadha Bodhita All glory to Shri Guru Jigra All glory to Shri Guru Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
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 Namo Vishnudaya Krishna Sai Gurave Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prasadane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Bhastata Deshatarane Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Ishwar Sri Bhagavan Prakanda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Shri Krishna Bhagavan 5 chapter 8 verse 27 Tadani Mapi Parsva Vartinam Atmajam Ivano Sochitam Abhi Vikshamana Om Mruga Eva Abhi Naveshita Mana Visra Visrja Lokamimam Saha Margena Mrigena Kalevara Mritam Hanuna Mrita Janma Anusmritir Pitaravan Mrigasariram Vava. Translation at the time of death, the king saw that the deer was sitting by his side exactly like his own son and was lamenting his death. Actually, the mind of the king was absorbed in the body of the deer, and consequently, like those bereft of Krishna consciousness, he left the world of the deer in his material body and acquired the body of a deer. However, there was one advantage. Although he lost his human body and received the body of a deer, he did not forget the incidents of his past life. Therefore, there was a difference between Bharata Maharaja's acquiring a deer body and others acquiring different bodies according to the mental condition at the time of death. After death, others forget everything that has happened in the past lives. But Bharata Maharaja did not forget, according to Bhagavad Gita, whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, that state he will attain without fail. After quitting his body, a person gets another body according to his mental condition at the time of death. At death, a person always thinks of that subject matter in which he has been engrossed during his life. According to this law, because Bhava Maharaj was always thinking of a deer, and forgetting his worship of the Supreme Lord, he acquired the body of a deer. However, due to his having been elevated to the topmost platform of devotional service, he did not forget the incidents of his past life. This special benediction saved him from further deterioration. Due to his past activities in devotional service, he became determined to finish his devotional service even in the body of a deer. It is therefore said in this verse, Mritam, although he had died, Hanu afterwards, Namrita Jama Anusmritir Itarava, he did not forget the incidents of his past life as others forget them. As stated in Brahma Samhita, Karmani Nidahati Kintucha Bhakti Bhajam. It is proved herein that due to the grace of the Supreme Lord, a devotee is never vanquished. Due to his willful neglect of devotional service, a devotee may be punished for a short time, but he again revives his devotional service and returns home back to Godhead. Although in the body of a deer, Bharata Maharaj, due to his rigid devotional service in his past life, could understand the cause of his birth in that body, considering his past and present life, he constantly repented his activities, speaking in the following way. This is a special concession for a devotee. Even if he attains a body that is non-human, by the grace of the Supreme Personality of God, if he advances further in devotional service, whether by remembering his past life or by natural causes. It is not easy for a common man to remember the past activities of his past life, but Bharata Maharaj could remember his past activities due to his great sacrifices and engagement in devotional service. In the body of a deer, Bhava Maharaj began to think, what misfortune, I have fallen from the path of the self-realized. I gave up my real son's wife and home to advance in spiritual life. I took shelter in a solitary holy place in the forest. I became self-controlled and self-realized. And I engaged constantly in devotional service, hearing, thinking, chanting, worshiping, and remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. I was successful in my attempt, so much so that my mind was always absorbed in devotional service. However, due to my personal foolishness, my mind again became attached, this time to a deer. Now I have obtained the body of a deer and have fallen far from my devotional practices. Due to a stringent execution of devotional service, Maharaj Bharat could remember the activities of his past life and how he was raised to the spiritual platform. Due to his foolishness, he became attached to an insignificant deer, fell down, and had to accept the body of a deer. This is significant for every devotee. If we misuse our position and think we are fully engaged in devotional service and can do whatever we like, we have to suffer like Bharat Maharaj and become condemned to accept the body of a deer that impairs our devotional service. Only the human form is able to execute devotional service, but if we voluntarily give up this for sense gratification, we certainly have to be punished. This punishment is not exactly that endured by ordinary materialistic person. By the grace of the Supreme Lord, a devotee is punished in such a way that his eagerness to attain the lotus feet of the Lord, the Lord Vasudeva, is increased. By his intense desire, he returns home in the next lifetime. Devotional service is very completely described here. Tad anusravana manana sankirtana aradana anusmarana abhiyogena. The constant hearing and chanting of the glories of the Lord is recommended in Bhagavad Gita. Satatam kirtiyantamam yatatascha dridavrata. Those who have taken to Krishna consciousness to be very careful that not a single moment is wasted and not even a single moment is spent without chanting, remembering the Supreme Personality of God and his activities. By his own actions, by the actions of his devotees, Krishna teaches us how to become conscious in devotional service. Through the medium of Bharat Maharaj, Krishna teaches us that we must be careful and discharge in devotional service. If we want to keep our minds completely fixed without deviation, we must engage in a devotional service full time. As far as the members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness are concerned, they sacrifice everything to push on this Krishna Consciousness movement. Yet they must take a lesson from the life of Bharat Maharaj to be very cautious and see that not a single moment is wasted in frivolous talk, sleep, or voracious eating. Eating is not prohibited, but if we eat voraciously, we shall certainly sleep more than required. Sense gratification ensues, and we may be degraded to a lower life form. In that way, our spiritual progress may be checked, at least for the time being. The best course is to take the advice of Rupa Goswami. Avyartakalatam. We should see that every moment of our lives is utilized for rendering of devotional service and nothing else. This is a secure position for one wanting to return home back to Godhead. Although Bharat Maharaj received the body of a deer, by constant repentance he became completely detached from all material things. He did not disclose these things to anyone, but he left his mother deer in a place known as Kalanjara Mountain, where he was born. He again went to the forest of Shalagram and to the ashram of Pulastya and Pulaha. It is significant that Maharaj Bharat, by the grace of Vasudeva, remembered his past life. He did not waste a moment. He returned to Pulaha ashram in the village known as Shalagram. Association is very meaningful. Therefore, ISKCON tries to perfect one who enters the society. The members of the society should always remember that the society is not like a free hotel. All the members should be very careful to execute their spiritual duties so that whoever comes will automatically become a devotee and will be able to return back to Godhead in this very life. Although Bharat Maharaj acquired the body of a deer, he again left his hearth and home, in this case, the mountain Kalanjara. No one should be captivated by his birthplace and family. One should take shelter of the association of devotees and cultivate Krishna consciousness. Remaining in the ashram, the great king, Bharat Maharaj, was now very careful not to fall victim to bad association. Without disclosing his past to anyone, he remained in that ashram and ate dry leaves only. He was not exactly alone, for he had the association of the super soul. In this way, he waited for death in the body of a deer. Bathing in that holy place, he finally gave up that body. Therefore, holy places like Vrindavan, Bhargava, Prayag, and Jagannath Puri are specially meant for execution and devotional service. Vrindavan specifically is the most exalted and preferred holy place for Vaishnava devotees of Lord Krishna who are aspiring to return back to Godhead, the Vaikuntha planets. There are many devotees in Vrindavan who regularly bathe in the Jumna, and this cleanses all the contamination of the material world. By constantly chanting and hearing the holy names and pastimes of the Supreme Lord, one certainly becomes purified and becomes a fit candidate for liberation. However, if one purposely falls down victim to sense gratification, he has to be punished at least for one lifetime like Bharat Maharaj. Let's end the Bhaktivedanta purports of this canto, 8th chapter, Srimad Bhagavatam, title description, character of Bharat Maharaj. So this section describes the death of Bharat. And so when he died, he thought of the deer. The deer was by his side, and he was thinking of the deer, seeing the deer, etc. So he became a deer. But the remarkable feature was that as a deer, he didn't have a deer brain, because he could remember his past life as Bharat. And therefore, he regretted his activities and understood his fault. And even though he had a deer body, he decided to be very renounced. And he left his place of birth and traveled up to Pulasa Ashram in the Himalayas and began doing austerities. They ate very little, etc. Didn't associate with other deer. In other words, he was able to, some degree, to practice some spiritual life in that life as a deer. And then, of course, he took another birth as a human being after that. So in this way, in one sense, he suffered the results of his mistake, that is, becoming too attached to the deer, so that he thought of a deer when he died. And he had to become a deer. So the normal punishment, of course, in the material world, is to get a lower type of body. If we do sinful activities, etc., we end up in some lower position. And in Bhagavad Gita chapter 16, Krishna describes that those who are demonic and repeatedly do sinful activities, they go into lower and lower species of life. So that is the case for people in the material world. And on the other hand, we find Nehapi Karmanasa Sipratyavaya Vidyate, that devotional service is never lost and one is freed from all fear by the process of bhakti. So one would not expect Bharat to go into a lower body because he performed bhakti. At the same time, we understand this lower body was not really a lower body in the same sense that a demon gets a lower body. This body was actually capable of thinking and remembering and whatever, like a human being. So it was not karma as such. It was an arrangement of the Supreme Lord. At the same time, it fulfilled the description in Bhagavad Gita chapter 8 that whatever you think of when you die, you attain. So, because he thought of a deer, he became a deer. So a very apt illustration of that particular point. So in this way, it illustrates a principle that our attachments in one lifetime produce our next body. So that, of course, is justified in one sense, because he did have that fault of attachment and thought of the deer, therefore he should become a deer. But his sinful activity as such was not the sin of an asura or a demon. He did not do sinful, gross sinful activities. His fault was he deviated from devotional service and became attached to a deer. And he became attached to a deer out of compassion, which is not a bad quality. It's a sattva quality. So, in one sense, it was not really a fault. However, in terms of bhakti, it was a mistake. And he neglected his worship of the Supreme Lord. And so consequently, he could not progress because of that. And he took a step backwards in one sense. So therefore, this was an arrangement of the Supreme Lord for the advancement of this particular devotee. So the Lord at once fulfilled this description that whatever you think of when you die, you attain. At the same time, he arranged this in such a way that Bharat got some advantage from it, and he was able to learn. So Bharat took the body of the deer, and he did not lament that situation in one sense, because he understood his mistake. And therefore, as a deer, even as a deer, he tried to rectify that by being austere and going back to the same ashram, etc. And as much as he could as a deer, following spiritual principles. So it was not karma in the normal sense at all. It reflects karma because we have this idea that whatever you think of when you die, you attain. If you're attached to a material thing, you attain that. So there's an appearance like that of karma. So due to his exalted status, the Supreme Lord took care of this devotee. and he was able to advance. So he advanced in the next lifetime, and then he got his perfection then. So in this way, by the Lord's arrangement, Bharata Maharaj eventually got his perfection. And in this way, the Lord was satisfied completely. So this also illustrates the fact that the Lord does not always simply give mercy and deliver a person. Of course, he gives mercy to Putana or Agasura, and they go to the spiritual world. But for his devotees like this, sometimes he allows them to go through the normal process of experience and rectification, etc. Plus, of course, the Lord makes certain arrangements for them. And in this way, finally, they get their perfection. So in the case of Bharat, after Baba, then it took him 3 lifetimes to get to Prema and get his perfection. And to get to Baba, of course, we don't know many, many lifetimes it will take to get to Baba stage. And that's the normal condition of the living entities. The Lord is merciful, definitely, but at the same time, he allows them to progress in a certain order, or a certain manner, sequence, through Anarjana, Vidhi, Ruchi, Sakya, Baba, and then Prema. And that may take many lifetimes. So yes, we can hope that we get out in one lifetime, but practically speaking, we see it may take many lifetimes, as in the case of Bharata. We have exceptional cases, as in the case of Madhari the Hunter. He got Baba in 3 months. One may quickly advance by the mercy of the Lord, but the scriptures say this is very rare. So, therefore, we should expect to progress gradually through many births in order to attain that perfection of complete service to the Supreme Lord and Prema. And we see, of course, that is even the case of other persons, like the some of the gopis in Krishna's pastime. They were sadhakas, and then they were born into Krishna's pastimes in one lifetime. And then in that lifetime, they became perfect. So what to speak of previous lifetimes, they were doing other activities. So it wasn't suddenly they came from zero all the way up to prema within one lifetime. So, and this, of course, is exalted position of being gopis in Krishna's pastimes. So, therefore, we cannot expect that one gets immediate advancement to the highest level in one lifetime or whatever, in many lifetimes. So this means that the devotee has to be realistic and work very hard in terms of bhakti. And at the same time, because as we see, it does take some time, we must expect there are going to be obstacles in the path. If there were no obstacles, then it would be very quick. And no, in the case of Bharata, there was obstacles. Even though he was an exalted person in the family of Swayambhu, Manvantara, Manu, etc. Still, obstacles in his path even. What to speak of obstacles in others' paths. And therefore, one must expect those obstacles. And at the same time, one should be, this is a good warning, that one should be careful of these obstacles and try to persist in the process of bhakti and not deviate from the process. And then one can quicken the process to some degree.
Maharaj, is the Lord more merciful in age of Kali? In previous ages, the environment was much more pure and probably more conducive. But in Kali Yuga, there are, the most degraded of all the ages.
Yeah.
So is the Lord more merciful in the present age?
Well, the process is given, that is chanting the name of the Lord. In the case of Krishna, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes. And he's merciful in the sense that he delivers Krishna to the fallen jivas of Kali, who are, so fallen. So Lord Chaitanya is considered the most merciful because he's able to give Krishna to the fallen souls of Kali Yuga. So in that sense, when Lord Chaitanya comes, then yes, he's more merciful.
But is the process also more easy, Maharaj? Compared to other ages, is it easier to attain in Kali Yuga?
Well, the process of Nam Sankirtan is easier because less qualified people can take to that process. That is, people in the lower gunas can take to that, whereas they cannot take to the process of deity worship or sacrifice or meditation. So in that sense, yes, it's easier.
What about someone who wants to
Well, it can happen, but one has to intensely practice that. Very intensely practice all the time.
Why should we go from in the previous verses mentioned that it is because of the intuitive activities? Shukadeva Goswami is mentioning in previous verse that this fall down of Bharat Maharaj is because of intuitive activities.
Oh, because fruitive activities means we have attachment to something material ultimately, that's all. So attachment to a deer must have arisen from the previous vasanas, which, like that, to some degree, in previous lifetime or whatever it was.
Yeah, but Maharaj, you explained that it cannot be karma.
It's not karma, but nevertheless, obviously, an attachment is there, and that attachment is a material attachment, so it must have come from previous attachments. In other words, the remnants of some attachment. If we don't have any material attachments, then there's no process, there wouldn't be any possibility of developing that attachment at that stage, but obviously there was still something remaining there. Became strong at that point.
You mentioned the obstacles are self-made or it comes from the path.
What's that?
The obstacles come in the path of the devotee's life. If there is more in that nature,
well, obviously, because we have desires. It's our desires. It's not something. It's not Krishna's desires. We have desires to enjoy the material world. We develop attachment from that. We develop karmas from that.
No, I mean other conditions and other external influences.
Oh, those type of obstacles. Well, in one sense, our karma puts us in certain conditions where we're born in a hot country or cold country or whatever. So that also is ultimately due to our activity, previous activities that we get in those particular conditions.
What is supposed to be only goes from hot country to cold country, say, I think that is more better than
the. Well, maybe there, in certain cases. In other words, certain places are more favorable. So generally, India is considered more favorable than cold countries. Eh? Cold countries, you struggle, you have to struggle more, whatever. And we'll see in general that the warmer countries, even in modern history, developed quicker than the other countries. In other words, most of the civilizations came out of tropical type countries, you know, and then at very late in 1500 or something, then the colder countries, Europe developed, and things like that. But before that, main civilizations were in more warm countries. How to intensely practice service in this life? Well, then you have to dedicate more time.
Maharaj, can we say that compared to other ashrams, Grihastha ashram is not so favorable for devotees?
Huh?
Compared to other ashrams, Grihastha ashram is not so favorable for intensely practicing the devotees. Can we say like that?
Well, it's not a matter of favorable or unfavorable, it's according to one's qualification. So therefore, for someone who has material attachments to take sannyas is unfavorable. Because it's not going to succeed. So it's only a matter of qualification that we have different ashrams there and then we practice within those ashrams. So, of course, one who is grihastha, then he has to dedicate more time to other things. In that sense, yes, he's it's less favorable because he has less time to dedicate to practicing his devotional angas. But on the other hand, one can take sannyas, and then if one is not qualified, then one can fall from that position also. So therefore, it's it's not favorable for his practice either. So therefore, actually, bhakti is beyond varnas and ashrams. And the perfect person is not according to ashram or varna, it's only according to the amount of bhakti, that's all. So he may be a grihastha, as in the case of Ambarish Maharaj or whatever, and he can be perfect in that sense. Or he may be a varnaprastha or a sannyasi or whatever.
निरंतरा श्री श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। भगवान महाराज की जय। जीवन के दिन शुक्र अंतम चलो प्रभुपाद की जय।
நம்ம டெடிகேட் பண்ணலாம். அதான் ஒரே லைஃப் டைம்ல போகணும்னா